Every leader has problems. Increasing your leadership intensity won't fix them in a healthy way. You need an increase of clarity. From starting businesses, leading multiple nonprofit organizations, both large and small, and a full family life, Dr. Chris McAllister learned how to shift his thinking to thrive. He will help you order your internal world so you can lead your external world. Welcome to the Site Shift Lead Podcast with Chris McAllister.
So here we are, and we are in number four. Not that all the podcasts are going to be like this, where it's this progression, but we are in a progression now. So you want to make sure that you're sequencing through this, because I want to teach you how to unblock your leadership, how to be the best leader you can be. And it's going to come when you learn to process identity, mission, community, how to reframe everything. It's coming through your identity. Recognize, no more proving or hiding. And as we talked about last time, we peel back the curtain and we start to look into our story. We start to really ask some questions about, okay, why do I prove and hide? And we want to learn our story. And I asked you to think about times you've been hurt. And for some people, there's exercises, you know, maybe the top five hurts, or what are the responses they have, and things that are triggered by different events that have happened. And some of you may be getting just a little weirded out by this, because our introspective muscles have atrophied. A couple of years ago, a couple winters ago where I live, it's really brutal during the winter, and my running had just fallen off. And so I think this was last winter. I lose track of time. Anyway, I'm out running. It's a 6-mile loop, and I'm going to get back into it. And I get 2 miles in, and my teardrop, I'm kind of a skinny dude. Mine's more like a wispy tear. My teardrop muscle, the vestus medialis, started to cramp up. And I'm not talking about like a slight cramp. I'm talking about so painful, I'm getting down on my knees the side of the road and trying to stretch them. And it wasn't just one, it was both of them. And I get back up, and I've got to turn around, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm going to walk back. Every step is this severe cramp. And I know about hydration, nutrition, and electrolytes, and this wasn't that. I mean, I'd done what I needed to. I'm going back to the house, and I got 2 miles to go, and I can't run. That's too painful. The least painful thing that I could do was this hobble run, and I looked ridiculous as I had to go back 2 miles to my house. I was in such excruciating pain, and my muscles had cramped so intensely, I couldn't stand. The next day, I was supposed to speak. It was like 3 times, and I had to cancel. It was a terrible, terrible pain, and I'm telling you that to say, I know that for some of you, there's some stuff that we're going to surface that you haven't really thought about. Maybe those introspective muscles are a little atrophied. The most ambitious driven leaders oftentimes are the ones most divorced from being able to process the kind of stuff we're talking about. And that's why it's so huge that you learn to tap into that now. And we'll talk about this idea later, but you're burying that stress response, and psychosomatically, your body will get your attention later. So we want to pay attention now. And here's what we want to do this week. We want to learn to flip the lie. And so we want to flip the lie. We've been talking about these fears that we feel about who we are. And we talked last week about learning our story. And it's things from our past that want to communicate that lie to us. Now we want to learn to pay attention to when that lie is there and flip it. If we don't learn to flip it, we're going to make terrible choices out of insecurity. We're going to be blocked up in bringing our best leadership. We're not going to be able to pay attention to emotional cues. We're not going to be able to lean into moments where we could help something turn around or reinforce vision and values. We are going to be flying blind. We're going to be numb, and we're going to commit self-sabotaging behavior. We're going to be our own worst enemy, and we don't want to do that. And so what I want to do for this one, and it's going to require some introspection on your part to maybe write this out. And if you're driving and listening to this, you can kind of visually picture this in your head. But at some point, I want you to go back and write this out. I'm going to teach you a progression of how to recognize the lie anytime it's there where you're believing a lie about who you are. Okay. And then we'll talk about flipping it in a minute. So in the first podcast, I talked about identity, mission, community. How do you get to the place that you're living out of an insecure identity? Okay, this was last week. You get hurt. You get hurt and you believe a lie about who you are. And so I don't care how tough somebody wants to be around others. The more tough that they have to be, the more the insecurity is reeking through them and they're saying, you won't hurt me. I've been hurt before, and I haven't dealt with that in a healthy way, and so I'm pushing everybody back. We've all been affected by hurt. And what hurt does, and I want you to think about identity, mission, community, like it's a linear line, and identity, and there's an arrow that points to mission and an arrow that points to community. Now go one line below that, and I want you to think about hurt. When you're hurt in who you are, you feel inadequate in what you do. That's mission. And then you pretend in your community. That's where you prove or hide. You're going to power up or you're going to shrink back. So how does somebody get to the point that they are living out of a false identity? They're living with a false mission. And let me just give you a little caveat on false mission here. From walking through this with a lot of people, when you get insight onto living and doing out of a secure identity, your mission may change or it may stay the same. So it's the fireman who rescues people to feel worthy. And then he learns that he's already worthy. He can go rescue to help people, to give, not to try to just get something from it. It's fine for him to get a good feeling from it. That's a beautiful thing. But if getting the good feeling drives him, then he is only rescuing to get. This applies to our relationships. This applies to our job. But we're talking about mission right now. It's the person that I talked to that was bullied growing up that became a policeman to protect others from being bullied, right? Sense of true mission. How many of us, though, know somebody that's doing something? Maybe we could use the policeman thing as an example, that was bullied and is a policeman now so they can bully others. It doesn't matter what the profession is. You could do it from a sense of false mission. I've got to get something. Or true mission, I'm here to give something because I know abundant security within. And then the same thing with community. I'm surrounded by some beautiful relationships, some deep, awesome friendships. The relationship with my wife, the relationship with my three daughters. How I engage those relationships, I get something from them. I get support. I get love. I get encouragement. It's really beautiful, and I love it. But if the default response of the relationship is, I need to get worth from you, I need to get something from you, then I'm never going to be able to engage in a way that I give who I am and I give myself regardless of what I get. I'll never be able to engage the relationship in a secure way. Let me give you an example of this. A number of years ago in our house, as things had progressed with some commitments we had made as a family, I began to realize there were some things that I needed to do to step up helping around the house. It's one of those things that in our rhythm, I'm focused on getting the financial needs met, and my wife does some things to move our house forward and what she does for the kids, and so it works for us, but I'm slacking. All right. And, you know, it's all about what you're raised with and the environment of what you see growing up. And I'd see my dad come in and, my mom would bring him his favorite tea on ice. And I'm still waiting on my tea, if you know what I mean. And I looked around and I saw, hey, I need to step up and do some things to help. And so one of the things that I started doing was taking more initiative just with like the dishes and the sink. I know this sounds lame. Like some of you are like, come on, give me a break. That was growth. It was growth for me. And I'm looking at the sink and going, I need to get on this. And so I remember one time when I started to really do this and pay attention, I'm loading the dishwasher, except here's the problem. My wife is nowhere to be found. She's not around. Have you seen that Seinfeld episode where Costanza goes to put the tip in the tip jar and they don't see him and he doesn't get credit? It's not about the tip he wants to give. It's about the credit he wants to get. And he reaches back in and they think he's stealing. And here I am doing the dishes and it's not getting noticed. She's nowhere around. If it's not getting noticed, what's the point of doing it? And I had to laugh at myself as I found myself clanking and making some noise, right? And my wife is like, what's going on? Are you doing the dishes? Oh, you noticed? Well, I'm doing that to get worth from her. For the job that I did, I'm not doing it to give something to her. And this is what I mean about that shift that we've got to make. We've got to flip the lie. So for me, I talked about those fears with you in the second podcast. When you go deep on that, and I understand that my core fear is that I'm not worthy unless I perform well. I'm doing those dishes so that I can get a celebration of performance. I'm wanting it externally. What am I doing? I'm trying to live out of third gear. I want to live out of first gear, first identity. And even if it's not noticed, I'm still going to do it. And if it is noticed, awesome. Get to enjoy that celebration. But I know that my worth isn't defined by that. And so this is a huge concept that most people never get because they're not going back to process, where do I feel insecure in my identity? So we want to think about this. Hurts in our identity, when we believe a lie of shame about who we are, lead to inadequacies in our mission and pretenses in our community. This is how we get swallowed up with comparison, right? We start comparing ourselves to others. And so what energizes the way that we respond out of an insecure identity? And I want you to think about this like another line below that. So it's identity, mission, community. Under that, hurts, inadequacies, pretenses. Under that, we start to prove and hide, which we talked about that week too, in our identity. We're frustrated in our mission. We're blocked up. We're not doing things. Our mission isn't from a place of what we can give to others. Now listen, leaders, here's the thing. Your job may change a few times, a lot of times. I'm talking about learning to tap into that deep sense of purpose. Nobody can take this from you. This is autonomous. This is that thing that you can master, that freaky, fast curveball that you know how to throw. This is the beauty of learning that you bring who you are in a full, unobstructed way that's creative and secure to what you do. There's a sense of mission that transcends any job you'll have, okay? And so if you're insecure, you're proving in your identity, you're frustrated in your mission, and then you're judging in your community. How many of you know, I think it was George Carlin, the comedian, that talked about people that drive faster than you, they're jerks, right? Everybody that drives faster than you, they're jerks. When you're on the interstate and they go flying by, jerk. And if they drive slower than you, they're idiots, right? Because you're God's gift to driving. Like, you have the perfect speed of what should be driven. I see people do this all the time. Have you seen the size of their house? Do they need that much? Or, man, they should take better care of their house. What's their problem? Don't they want to care for their investment? In other words, we've mastered the perfect standard of what housing should be like, or health. Man, they're like obsessed about their health. They need to chill out. Or do you think they should care a little more? They should put a little effort into that. But I've balanced out perfectly what my health should look like. Parenting. Have you seen how uptight they are with their kids? Those kids are going to rebel hardcore. Or, man, how loose are they with their kids? They need to be a little more diligent. Their kids are going to rebel hardcore. You see what I'm doing there? It's around us all the time. And so what I want to help you understand is, why do you feel like you've got to prove or hide in your identity? Because you've been hurt, which is going to lead to frustration in your doing. You're going to get blocked up and you're going to be judging in your community. That's the greatest way that you can recognize when you are believing a lie. When you believe a lie, you're going to prove, you're going to be in a state of frustration. Your mission is in a sense of something getting unblocked in you. And you're going to be judging your community, right? The relationships around you. If I see somebody that's very judgmental, I know I'm interacting with somebody that's very insecure. A few years ago, we had gotten the kids bikes for Christmas, and a neighbor across the street let me hide them in his basement until Christmas Eve night when I was going to go over and get them. And so Christmas Eve night, I go over and get them. And for those of you that dialed in deep on podcast on the first episode, you realize that I told a few stories out of a really challenging season for us. It was excruciating. And tons of stories that came out of that. I could just tell them for hours. But one of them was the little gas hatch that holds the back of our van door up was broken. So the hatch wouldn't stay up. And I go over to pick up these bikes, and I've got the hatch pulled up and resting on my back so I can load the bikes up. And my neighbor just makes a comment. He's like, man, that's really dangerous, and somebody could get hurt. I said, yeah, I've got an appointment to get it fixed next week. I didn't have an appointment to get it fixed next week. That was just a complete lie. Why did I lie? I pretended in my community. Remember, hurts, lead to inadequacies in our mission and pretending in our community. I felt like because I was insecure, I had to prove something, right? Over and over, this pattern is playing out. Now, again, how do we flip the lie? I want you to think about this paradigm of identity, mission, community. Here's what you're going to do now. You're going to open up your awareness to your fear, to the shame, to what you feel. Over and over, I've been asking you in this podcast so far to get aware. The first step to learning to lead from a secure identity, to lead brave, to be able to become brilliant in the moment and know how to meet an emotional space where it is for what it is and lead the team through a tough maybe transition or to get them excited about the next initiative in an authentic way, not in a hype-driven way. Here's what it's going to come down to. You being aware. The more aware you are of you and your fear and your shame and your pain and your lies, the more you're going to be aware of what's happening around you and others' lives. But this awareness isn't only over the fear and the pain and the shame and the lies. It's just learning to be attuned. It was me coming home late one night from work, and I'm sitting at the table, and I'm learning about all this, and I'm starting to teach it to others, and I'm having a bowl of cereal. I'd missed dinner, and it was late, and my daughter comes downstairs, and she pushes a note across the table and just said, "Will you dance with me?" It was the most surreal thing, as I stood her up and I danced with her, and it was one of the most present moments I've ever felt as a father. Why? Because I was learning to pay attention to the fear and the shame and the pain. I also got to feel the joy in a deeper way. Nothing will make you a fantastic leader in regards to every part of what you're doing, like awareness. Awareness is foundational. It's key. When you're aware, you're also going to overflow that contagious joy when it's there. So I spend a lot of time in these first three podcasts just trying to get you aware. So we want to get aware of what? The fear, the shame, the pain. We're going to get opened up to the joy as we get aware. And then we're going to invite abundance into that lie. Is it really true that we never have a place to belong? Well, what if we learn to build an internal place on the inside of who we are, where we always belong? This goes back to those fears week two. Is it really true that we'll never have a place where we're safe? What if we learn to build an internal place where we're safe? Is it really true that we'll never be worthy unless we perform well? What if we learn to build an internal place on the inside of who we are where we always feel worthy no matter what is happening? See, I can go through all those fears and tell you this. When you become aware of that fear and pain, you invite abundance into that. That's, going to move you forward out of that stuck place of being aware. And then you share it. You share it with your community, safe people. Now, I'm going to break all of that down in future podcasts. In fact, the next episode, or maybe two episodes away, I'm going to teach you about what it means to invite and how to train your brain for abundance, not scarcity. Train your brain to not be stuck in shame. But for now, it's just understanding, is there a lie? I want to get you to pay attention to that you're believing about who you are. Get aware of it. Invite abundance into that. And maybe if there's a safe person to share it with, the first and best safe person to share it with is yourself. And I'm going to give you exercise in a minute to do that with. But when you follow this progression, aware, invite, share, you're going to feel peace in who you are. There's going to be a resilient passion in your mission. I mean, resiliency comes when you separate who you are from what you do, because you can keep going regardless of the results. Or you can stop doing things that don't need to be repeated anymore because you're not attached to your doing. You know who you are separate from your doing. But you have peace in who you are, you have passion in your mission, and then you have understanding in your community. You're able to look around you and just understand why people do what they do. You can explain their behavior without excusing it. It takes your leadership to a sophisticated place because you're able to give empathy, but also be cunning and strategic where you need to be with good motives as you forecast what people's responses might be to certain things that are happening. You're going to give them understanding and be able to lead them well. This isn't just about cognitive willpower, about saying, I'm going to force my way through this problem. This is about learning a different way of processing thinking, a new paradigm. It was over a little bit before Christmas break, a few weeks, and I'd come home and our kitchen sink was leaking enough that it was filling up about a cup a day, because I'd put a cup under there. You know, I'm not going to deal with it the first couple days because I'm just got a lot going on. I was fully diving into site shift lead and getting things off the ground. Plus, it's right before Christmas. I'm like, I don't want to be spending money on this. And it's getting worse. So I go to the hardware store, and I had this idea. I could spray some silicone spray up in there where it was leaking from the faucet, because I could see where it was leaking, but I couldn't get any kind of tool up there. Spray some silicone spray up there to at least stop the leak for the time being. And any of you know that anything about this kind of work are saying you are an idiot. And I'm not going to disagree with that. I really suck at fixing things. I do not like having to go buy a new tool because I don't ever want to have to use it again in the future. So here I am at the hardware store explaining how I want to try to fix this problem to this guy. And he's like, yeah, that sounds like it'll work. needless to say, he's no longer a trusted source for me. But I go to get this silicone spray and I spray it up inside this faucet in the sink. And the leak mostly stops. A little bit's coming out, but it's very slow trickle. And I'm thinking, I've done it. I've bought some time. Come home a little bit before Christmas, a few days before Christmas, if I remember correctly, and there is a puddle of water in the basement. And guess what? It was right under where the sink was. My attempt to intensely fix a problem made it worse. Because I didn't fix it with clarity. I didn't fix it correctly. Now, here's the thing. Most of us start to figure some things out about our leadership and maybe how we're not getting the results that we want. And we apply some intensity, maybe to the people around us, and we tell them they should try harder and do better. Or maybe we do that to ourselves. But it's not a lasting strategy. It's much like getting into a boat that is headed south and saying, I want to change where I'm headed, and so I'm going to grab the wheel and I'm going to turn it north, except you can only hold it going north so long if there's an autopilot. That autopilot will outlast your good intentions and efforts, and you can apply all the intensity that you want, but eventually you're going to get tired, you're going to get worn down, you're going to let go, and the wheel's going to go back around to going south. The autopilot's going to kick in. What I want to do is help you get a new baseline. Now, we're going to talk about doing this in sequential episodes. For now, let me just introduce what's going to happen for you. This isn't about cognitive willpower and flipping the lie. This is learning to see, feel, and hear a new reality. And so what I want to just introduce to you is you getting a lot of clarity on the lie so we can learn to flip it. So for some of you that are going to go hardcore with me on this and see all the depth of change that you can have happen and see your leadership truly get to a state of peak potential that's sustainable for the long haul, I'm going to give you an exercise to do. And look, man, when I listen to podcasts and they give me stuff like this, if I'm serious about it, I make a note, I schedule it, I want to make sure that it happens. So here it is. I want you to go on a walk or go on a drive if that's all you can do. Figure some way, though, to get your body moving and get visceral. And ask yourself this question. Is there a lie that I believe about who I am? That's going to the hurt part, right? That's going to the part where you want to prove. Because this is what we need clarity on. Is there a lie I believe about who I am? And I've had, as clients go through the coaching program and they go through this, they're like, you know, when you got into that part about the stick, I'm about to go there with you. It felt a little weird. You know, the cynicism kicks in. We've been jaded by so much BS and hype. And I did it. And it was something that became a meaningful moment for me. Now, I'm not saying it'll become a meaningful moment for you right away, but it does have the meaning that you give it. It has the meaning that you attach to it. So here's what I want you to do with the stick. I want you to go on a walk. And I want you to find a stick. Just look around for one that has some kind of meaning for you with this lie. And I want you to have a pen in your pocket when you go on this walk. And I want you to write that lie on the stick. I want you to break it. Or maybe you want to write it out as a letter. And you want to burn that letter. Do something that shows in a ceremonial way you're flipping that lie. Why have societies popped up at different points all over the planet that have had these religious rituals built into them that are so similar with cultures that are never connected. Because we need these moments of passage. We need these moments of ritual that help us close off one era and start a new one. And I want to help you close off that era of living suffocated under that lie. Now, if more comes up before we get to do some more work together or before you listen to more podcasts, if you find that lie coming back up, think about it like a windshield. If it pops up in your frame of view, deal with it. You're not living life focused on the rearview mirror. You can't drive that way. But if it pops up on your windshield, deal with it. You're aware? Invite abundance into that. And I'm going to teach you more about that as we move forward. Take that walk. Check it out. Thanks for listening and being along for this episode. Peace.
This has been The Site Shift, lead podcast with Chris McAllister. Thank you for listening.